Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you. We firmly believe that you are here, wherever we may be. Our thoughts are lifted to you there in heaven, and they are too when we invoke Our Lady, Saint Joseph, our guardian angel, that great heavenly court, praising you for all eternity. Our thoughts are lifted above to be heavenly-minded, not earthly-minded, as St. Paul writes to the Colossians, and we long to be with you one day there. And our thoughts go too to that vast multitude of souls being purged in purgatory. We live the communion of saints, the Church militant here on earth, the Church triumphant in heaven, and the Church suffering in purgatory. We pray for them. We keep them in mind, and that helps us to be reminded of the reality of purgatory. The Catechism says of it, with respect to who goes to purgatory, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. They have died in your grace and friendship. They are in the state of grace, not in the state of mortal sin, and therefore they are in friendship with you, but they are still imperfectly purified. And in purgatory they undergo that purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. And if we ask, what level of holiness is demanded? We can open the letter to the Hebrews, where we read, strive for peace with all men, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Complete holiness, that wedding garment without stain. And we see when we consider this that purgatory is a demand of your holiness and of your justice, and a manifestation of your mercy, a demand of your holiness, because in heaven all is light, all is holiness, all is purity. Nothing unclean can hope to enter, we read in the book of Revelation. If we were to peer into the window of heaven and see all of that beauty, all of that holiness, and then we looked at our soul and we saw so many stains, we would realize, I'm not ready for heaven. To enter heaven, we must have that wedding garment without any stain. And we might ask, any stain of what? Traditionally, the Church has taught that we must be purified of three things. First, any temporal punishment remaining for our sins. We know that every sin, venial and mortal, requires that we make up for it in some way. Lord, you make up for most of the temporal punishment, but you ask us to do something. We cannot simply tell you that we are sorry. Any more than human beings, let us imagine a husband who has offended his wife. He has abused her in his speech, and he apologizes. But he realizes that's not enough. And he knows he must do something to make up, to show his wife that he really loves her. And he may help her with some task in the house that normally he doesn't do. He may buy her some flowers, some chocolates, do something extra to show that he has made up, that he truly loves her. And Lord, the same with you. We must do something to make up for the harm that we've caused to the mystical body by our sins, and the harm that we have caused to your majesty. And this is a requirement of your holiness. And we must be purified at the same time, not only of temporal punishment owing for our sins, but also for any lack of sorrow for venial sins. If we lack sorrow for mortal sins, we cannot go to heaven, we go to hell. But if we lack sorrow for any venial sin, we are not ready for heaven. To go to heaven, we must be able to tell you truly, I love you with my whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And that is not compatible with not being sorry for having offended you. And so if there's any lack of sorrow for any venial sin, we are not ready for heaven, and that must be purged in purgatory. And thirdly, we must be purged of any bad habits and attachments caused by sin. If we are attached to this world, attached to clothing, to our house, to our car, to travel, to any enjoyments, we don't love you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. We must be purified of those disordered attachments, so that the soul is pure and ready for heaven. And secondly, purgatory is a demand of justice, of fairness. We have to make up. We must do something to make up for our sins. If we imagined two persons who died at the same instant, and one throughout his or her life had done a lot of penance to make up for her sins, had struggled to avoid sin, had led a very good spiritual life. The other had committed many, many sins and had done virtually no penance. It would not be fair that they both entered immediately into heaven. We have to make up for our sins. And thirdly, purgatory is a manifestation of your mercy. If we died and appeared before you with those stains that we have just considered on our soul, and we knocked on the door of heaven and asked to be admitted, Lord, you could very well have said, but you're not ready to come to heaven. Your soul is not completely pure with that holiness necessary to come to heaven. You can't come to heaven, but we have a place that let us call limbo, where you will be very happy, much happier than on earth, but you will never see God. And Lord, you could have said that. But in your mercy, you gave us a chance to make up after death for what we had not done in life. And this is truly a manifestation of your mercy. And in purgatory, the souls suffer two principal punishments: the pain of sense and the pain of loss. But at the same time, they are exceedingly happy. The pain of sense is likened to fire in the scriptures. And it will be the fire of your love burning through us. Pope Benedict, in his encyclical on hope, Spe Salvi, writes of the pain of purgatory, "This encounter with Christ as it burns us, transforms and frees us, allowing us to become truly ourselves. His gaze, the touch of his heart, heals us through an undeniably painful transformation, as through fire. But it is a blessed pain, in which the holy power of his love sears through us like a flame, enabling us to become totally ourselves, and thus totally of God. The pain of love becomes our salvation and our joy." And in those numerous apparitions of souls in purgatory to people on earth that fill numerous books, the image of fire is often there. Let us consider one such apparition related by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, through whom our Lord promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart. She says, "When I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament on the Feast of Corpus Christi, a person enveloped in fire suddenly stood before me. From the pitiable state the soul was in, I knew it was in purgatory, and I wept bitterly. This soul told me it was that of a Benedictine who had once heard my confession and ordered me to go to Holy Communion. As a reward for this, God permitted him to ask me to help him in his sufferings. He asked me to apply to him all I should do or suffer for a period of 3 months. Having obtained my superior's leave, I did what he asked. He told me that the greatest cause of his sufferings was that in life he had preferred his own interests to those of God, in that he had been too attached to his good reputation. His second defect was lack of charity to his brethren. The third was his all too natural attachment to creatures." And before we go on, we can consider that that good Benedictine priest was needing to be purified of two forms of attachment, to his good reputation and to creatures. St. Margaret Mary goes on, "It would be difficult for me to describe what I had to endure during those 3 months. He never left me, and seeing him as it were on fire and in such terrible pain, I could do nothing but groan and weep almost incessantly. My superior, being touched with compassion, told me to do hard penances, particularly to take the discipline. After the 3 months, I saw the soul radiant with happiness, joy, and glory. He was about to enjoy eternal happiness, and in thanking me, he said he would protect me when with God." And St. Margaret Mary sees him, as it were, on fire. In Rome, there's a church with a small museum of artifacts related to visions of souls from purgatory. It is in the Church of the Sacred Heart of Jesus of Suffrage, very near the Vatican. And practically all of those exhibits involve burn marks in books or in clothing. Let us consider one of them. On 11 consecutive nights in 1789, Joseph Leleur heard frightening noises in his house in Vorek, Belgium. Then on the 21st of June, his mother, who had died 27 years before, appeared to him and reminded him that he had an obligation to have masses celebrated for her soul. She reproached him for his wayward life and begged him to change his ways and work for the church. Then she laid her hand on the sleeve of his nightshirt, burning into it a clearly marked imprint of her hand, which is on display in that museum. Leleux converted and founded a congregation of pious lay people, and he died in the fame of sanctity in 1825. And if one visits that museum, and I've read about it in a book, one will see all of those burn marks in paper, in clothing. Another burn mark is not in that museum, but at the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Poland. And this account was written around 1890. And it seems that two of the priests in the monastery there had promised each other that the first one to die would leave some sign from the next life. The first one had died some time before, and no sign was appearing when the other priest was wondering what was happening. And then one day at the end of Mass, as he was folding the corporal, that square linen on which the sacred vessels rest, a hand suddenly appeared. It rested on the corporal, burned it through, and then disappeared. And that corporal can be seen with the burn marks going through practically all of the 9 layers of a folded corporal. Fire, the pain of sense. And all agree that the slightest pain of purgatory is greater than the greatest pain on earth. And added to the pain of sense, the pain of loss, of being deprived of the sight of God. And we can appreciate this in terms of human love. When we love someone dearly and we cannot be with them, we suffer. And we can imagine that in purgatory, as our self-love, our pride, our vanity, our laziness is purged away, our love for God grows correspondingly. And as it grows in intensity and we love God truly with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, the fact of being deprived of his sight leaves us in agony. And this is the pain of loss. And again, all agree that the pain of loss is greater than the pain of sense. But at the same time, the souls in purgatory are exceedingly happy. They are on their way to heaven. They are certain of heaven. And they are closer to God than we are, as their self-love and pride are purged away. With all of that certainty of heaven and closeness to God, they experience a great joy, and not for nothing do we call them the blessed souls in purgatory. And we pray that one day we may at least go through purgatory on our way to heaven. And what do we conclude from our consideration of purgatory? First, that we should pray for those souls who are being purified there. Every day, hundreds of thousands of people die. And if we imagine that perhaps the majority of them go to purgatory, there will be millions of souls in any moment being purified in that fire of love. And we can help them. They can't help themselves, but we can help them by our prayers for them, especially by having masses offered for them. In numerous accounts of apparitions of souls in purgatory to people on earth, they ask for the Mass. Because the Mass is the most powerful prayer that we have in the Church. It is the sacrifice of infinite value of Jesus Christ on the cross. And they know that one Mass can be of great help for them, that we have Masses said for them. We can offer up our work, our own sufferings. And then that suffering that we undergo, whether it be a simple headache or a sickness, or a chronic pain, or even a terminal illness, can help the souls in purgatory at the same time as it can help to make up for our sins and be our purgatory on earth. We can get that twofold value from our own suffering. We help the souls in purgatory, and it can reduce our own purgatory, or perhaps take it away altogether. That we pray for the souls in purgatory, especially in these times when fewer people are praying for them. Some don't believe in purgatory, and others think that good people automatically go straight to heaven. We can't be assured of that, no matter how good someone was. Saint Faustina had a visit from a soul in purgatory who was one of the nuns from her convent. She had only been there a short time, and she would only be there a short time. But someone would have thought that surely that good nun would have gone straight to heaven, but she didn't. And a great saint like Saint Jose Maria was not assured that he would go straight to heaven when he died. About a year before he died in 1975, in a get-together with members of Opus Dei in Argentina, in June of 1974, he said, "When you hear that our Lord has told me, Redi rationem vilicationis tuae, give me an account of your stewardship, pray for me, so that our Lord may forgive me all my sins. If you help me a little, perhaps we can make the leap over the moat." He considered purgatory a moat. "If we die out of love, it is possible. I believe that this is the sickness that we have in Opus Dei, to die out of love. I think that it will not be necessary for them to have to tell me, Jose Maria, to purgatory. I will go there immediately, with the desire of getting out as soon as possible, to go and enjoy the love of God in heaven for all eternity. If you pray very much, all of you, our Lord, who can make sons of Abraham out of the very stones, will be able to make out of this little donkey of his a soul for paradise." He didn't take it for granted that he would go straight to heaven, and he had arranged that every priest of Opus Dei was to offer the 30 Gregorian Masses, 30 Masses on successive days, for the repose of his soul when he died. And we did that. And there were perhaps 1,000 priests of Opus Dei at that time. And 30,000 Masses were offered for the repose of his soul. He had a vision of how these suffrages might be applied to the souls in purgatory. And he considered that, in a sense, it isn't fair that someone who leaves a lot of money for Masses to be said for his or her soul, or someone like Saint Jose Maria himself, who could ask the priests of Opus Dei to offer all those Masses for him, it wasn't fair that such a person would get out of purgatory quicker, and others who had no one to pray for them would remain there longer. And his vision was that all the souls in purgatory are in a queue, and some are almost at the gate to go to heaven, and others are just at the back. And when any Mass, any suffrage, any prayer comes offered for any soul in purgatory, it benefits all of them equally, and they all take a step closer to heaven. A beautiful way of envisioning how our suffrages can help the souls in purgatory. And the second thought that we derive as we consider this reality of purgatory is to do all we can to avoid going there ourselves. And what can we do? First of all, avoid committing sin, because it is the consequences of sin that we must be purified of to go to heaven, to avoid the occasions of sin. And we will know what those occasions are for each one of us. And if we are tempted, to struggle harder, not to give in to those temptations. And then to do more penance. Lord, we have no idea how much penance we need to do to make up for one venial sin. One venial sin against your infinite glory and majesty and love and mercy. We would never make up for a venial sin if we had to do it on our own. And you in your mercy make up for most of it, but you demand something. We don't know what our spiritual bank account looks like. Are we in the red? Are we in the black? Have we done more penance than we needed to make up for our sins, and we have a positive balance? We can never know that. Let us do a lot of penance, a lot of good works, because all this helps to make up for our temporal punishment and those other stains of sin, and to live an active spiritual life of prayer, rosaries, mental prayer, the Mass especially, spiritual reading, so that we grow in love, and that helps to make up for our sins, and it helps us to commit fewer sins in the future. If we live like this, very aware of purgatory, then we can say, like Saint Jose Maria, in the way, that the souls in purgatory are our good friends. He says, the holy souls in purgatory, out of charity, out of justice, and out of excusable selfishness, they have such power with God. Remember them often in your sacrifices and in your prayer. May you be able to say when you speak of them, my good friends, the souls in purgatory. And I like to turn those words around. Given that few people pray for the souls in purgatory these days, if we pray for them, the souls in purgatory will thank us. They will say, so few pray for us, even our relatives and friends. They assume that we had gone to heaven, and we haven't. We're here being purified. But you do remember us. You are our good friend. That we have that mutual relationship with the souls in purgatory, that we have devotion to them. Then we are helping them. They will be helping us because they can pray for us too, and they do that. St. Catherine of Bologna said that she had received more favors from the souls in purgatory than even from the saints in heaven. And we will do all we can to avoid going there ourselves. And perhaps if we live this good life, a relationship with those holy souls, remembering the reality of purgatory, we live that deeper spiritual life, we struggle to avoid sins, and we do all we can to make up for our sins, perhaps we can be amongst those, I think, relatively few, who go straight to heaven when they die, perfectly purified. And we go to Our Lady, and those various titles, Refuge of Sinners, Mother of Mercy, Gate of Heaven, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Help us to keep purgatory in mind so that we can help those many souls there and take us straight to heaven, if that be possible, when we die. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.